Yes, listeners, and you're going to be talking to Michelle Mayfield of Beatrice Bakery. We've had a lot of Beatrice Bakery products roaming our house for quite some time now, so it'll be really interesting to talk to Michelle. Michelle, you are the marketing chief, are you?
Yeah, I am in. I'm the national sales executive in the marketing department at Beatrice Bakery.
Great. Let's start with where is Beatrice Bakery?
Sure, Beatrice Bakery, or we call it Beatrice, but it's
Oh,
spelled like
Beatrice.
Beatrice.
Oh,
Yeah, that's
interesting,
okay.
Beatrice.
It is
Beatrice.
interesting. Not sure how that came to be, but we're located in the southeast corner of the state of Nebraska. We're about 45 minutes south of Lincoln, the capital of Nebraska, and about an hour and a half south of Omaha.
Well, now, how did this company in the middle of nowhere get to be this major online bakery throughout the whole country?
Sure. So there were a couple of brothers that had immigrated from Germany, and they were originally set up in Missouri, in St. Louis, and they found a recipe for their grandmother's fruitcake in an old trunk, and they started producing it in Missouri, but they outgrew that facility, and so they started hunting in the Midwest for another location, and that's when they came to Beatrice. And we've been producing the fruitcake as Beatrice Bakery since 1964.
Wow.
The recipe, yeah, is over 100 years old. It's from 1917.
Yeah, well, as marketing director, you should have done a major promotion here. I mean, because you ship all over the United States.
We do. We do. We ship all over. We've really ramped up our brand awareness the last couple of years. So, fruitcake has been around forever, but we feel that ours is a little bit unique in that we don't use any citron or orange peel. And so we wanted to make sure that people were aware that they could get a quality fruitcake. That's something that tastes good and not something that you re-gift or use as a doorstop. So we have really ramped up our
Yeah, you know all
brand
those
awareness.
stories about you know all
Oh
the
yeah, we
stories
know.
about the fruitcakes that keep being shipped around and
Yeah.
re-shipped around. Yeah,
Re-gifted every
doorstop.
year. Yeah.
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 Now,
Yeah. So
Omaha has a very well-known citizen who's in the finance business.
Yes.
Does
Yes,
he buy
Mr.
your
Buffett.
cake?
I hope so.
Who is that rabbit?
Maybe, that's a great, that's a, I should send him one and make sure he has had
You
ours because,
absolutely should. Warren Buffett
yeah.
is the head of what's the name of the company again? I forget now.
Berkshire Hathaway.
Berkshire
Oh, Berkshire.
Hathaway.
Oh, that's who it is. Okay.
And
Right.
he's very rich, so he can afford lots of cake.
He can. I'll send him his first one for free, and then he can buy the rest of them from there.
He can certainly afford to do that, as you said.
Well, I have a list of the what you sent us as samples,
Oh, okay.
and I mean, it's the Southern Pecan Ring, the chocolate squares, the Grandma's Fruit and Nut Cake Bar Box, and
Right.
another ring of a chocolate rum liqueur cake ring.
Yes.
Now,
Yes.
and Peter's the one to really talk about this because he's the one who ate it all.
Well, he must have
What
liked it then.
is it about fruitcake? You must know better than me. What is it about fruitcake in the United States? In my native land, the mother of the house made the cakes herself.
Yes.
And
And we
my sister started making hers according to her about to be mother-in-law's recipe.
recipe.
And if she
Yes.
didn't do it right, the wedding was off.
Yeah, the funniest thing was they used to have these bachelor boxes, and our relatives in England would send us a piece of the wedding cake, which was a fruitcake, in one of these bachelor boxes. And you
wow.
know how it would come through the mail. I mean, it was all chewed up, and it was, I can't even imagine what we were supposed
right.
to do with it.
Yeah, not sure if you want to eat it after it's
oh, we never
long.
Touched it. No.
But anyway, the secret is the original recipe was from Germany.
Yes. And there's three different alcohols. So we put bourbon, brandy, and rum in our fruitcake.
Oh,
and
wow.
So we have all three of those. Brandy is the most prevalent, but we put bourbon, brandy, and rum, and then it's 67% fruit and nuts. So there's not a lot of cake or batter there, but it's really loaded with the good quality fruits and nuts. And
Did we get a sample of this one?
That would have been the one-pound grandma's bar box.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yep, that's the original fruitcake.
Okay.
That's the original. We do get a lot of calls from people that this will remind them of, you know, nostalgia, family tradition, we love fruitcake, things like that. A lot of fruitcake companies do put citron and orange peel in their fruitcakes. We do not do any of that. So I think that sets us apart from a lot of the other fruitcake companies that are out there. We don't have that bitter citron in our fruitcake.
The funny thing is I vaguely remember my sister's recipe from Mrs. Benson contained potatoes.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
In some quantity, although dried fruit was really the staple.
Yes.
So it was,
yep,
so it was
definitely.
Was raisins and sultanas and things like that and some nuts.
Yep, we put almonds, pecans, walnuts, pineapple, cherries, dates, and raisins.
And it's good.
How did you end up working as a marketing director for a bakery? Are you do the background?
Well, I'm a native. Yeah. So I like to tell people I work here because we are the largest consumer of alcohol in the state of Nebraska. Because we put so much of it, in our cake.
Yeah.
The funny thing is, my mother-in-law, Anne's mother, used to make a cake she called bourbon cake, and the outstanding thing about bourbon cake was that it only had one liquid ingredient.
Bourbon.
Which was all granddad. It had to be old granddad.
Right. That's funny that you should say that.
And she had a special.
Because the only liquid I'm sorry.
That's the one liquid what? You started to
say? That's the only liquid that we put in our grandma's original recipe is the bourbon, the brandy, and the rum. That's the only liquid ingredient.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you. And then not only did you make it, it had its own special tin for storing it and the plate for putting it on and all this stuff. And the baking thing with the stuff in the thing in the center, and then you had to feed it. You had to keep pouring the liquid over the cake as it aged.
Over the cake, right. So we make those. We age them for anywhere from 6 to 9 months, depending what size of the cake it is. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, that would mean it's pretty well fermented, so it's probably very healthy.
Let me tell you a really funny story. My mother used to make her cakes, her Christmas cakes, as they were called, and we would open them at Christmas. But one year she forgot to put in the sugar, and she doubled the flour. So there was a gathering of the family. Quite a lot of members of the family were there for a special occasion my mother used to entertain on Christmas Eve. Because it was my sister's birthday. But the fruitcakes were opened and they were dry as all get out.
Oh no.
Because of the mistake with the recipe.
Yet you won't forget that.
Now the other thing, and this is interesting, do your cakes have icing on them?
No, we do not put icing on them.
A true British Christmas cake, and a British wedding cake for that matter, has cake in the middle with the fruits, as we mentioned, but it has marzipan and sugar on the outside.
Okay.
And that,
yeah, so you could say ours isn't British, but yeah, we do not do the icing or the frosting.
There you go. But you're prospering in Beatrice, Nebraska, nevertheless.
Yes, we are. We've been here for, like I said, since 1964, and we can make anywhere from, you know, depending on how sales are for the year, 750,000 to 950,000 pounds of cake each year.
Good grief. Amazing.
That's a lot. Yeah.
Marie Antoinette would be proud, right?
Yes. Yes.
People order it. I mean, you have a brick-and-mortar place, too, huh?
Yes, that's where the factory or the production facility is located here in Beatrice. And then just about 2 years ago, we purchased a building that is in the same block, and so it's just across the parking lot, and that's where we have our marketing and sales team, and also we have a store, so people locally can come in and purchase the cakes from us here. But everything is made right here. We're all in the same location here in Beatrice.
Well, you know, the packaging is so specific. I mean, there was nothing ruined in the mail at all when we got these samples. So you must have invested a lot of time and effort and money into getting the proper packaging.
Yes, and I've only been here 3 years, and so I'm not sure how many trial and errors they've had with packaging, but what we're doing now works really well. We keep them in a cooler until we ship them, but everything that we ship out, no matter where it's going to, we ship it ambient or at room temperature, whatever the temperature of the truck or it's whatever process it's going through, you know, UPS, FedEx.
But we don't
have a lot of trouble.
And we have to put it in the refrigerator when we get it? No, there's some requirement there because we did not put all of it in the refrigerator.
Right. The main reason to put it in the refrigerator is because it will slice much easier.
It
won't. Yep, it won't crumble if it's chilled. And if it's at room temperature, it tends to crumble a little bit. I mean, you can eat it chilled or room temperature, but we said when you're going to slice it, it's best if it's chilled. It cuts into nicer slices.
Well, now, when we interviewed the fruitcake company in Texas, they said, I mean, that's supposedly the biggest fruitcake provider around.
Right.
They said that when they were baking it, the whole town smelled of fruitcake. Is that the same thing with yours, too?
Yes, you can go outside and take a whiff, and you'll know what we're cooking that day, whether it's chocolate, rum, or some of our breakfast breads smell really good when they're baking. And we have had other, neighbors in the area that have insurance business or the gas station or whatever, they'll ask, oh, what are you cooking today? Because they can smell it. So same thing happens here.
Wonderful.
Now, what about the chocolate cake? The chocolate cake was really different.
The chocolate rum?
The chocolate rum cake, yes.
Yeah, so that's a special process.
That didn't come from Germany.
No. No, we created that one. We have a line of liqueur cakes, and so we take we make a batter, and we bake the cake, and as soon as it comes out of the oven, while it's still hot, we inject it with a warm butter rum syrup, and you'll get that moisture in the ring. Yeah, we hand inject those, but we have to do it while they're still hot out of the oven. And so we have the chocolate rum, we have the vanilla rum, lemon drop, which is a vodka syrup, and then we also just created a new one. It's called chocolate raspberry rum. So it's got a raspberry liqueur that's injected.
Okay, now I understand that cake a little better.
You're going to be sending out a sample by way of promotion. Do you have any big time glamorous customers that help promote it?
We had a gal that was on one of the social media sites. I can't remember her name. I don't know of any celebrities per se, but we do have some bigger customers that maybe you wouldn't think of. We do sell it in Dillard's, in Macy's, Bass Pro Shop, Vermont Country Store is another big customer of ours. And then a lot of the grocery stores take our cake as well. But we're pretty seasonal. Our busy time is usually, we're making it now, so it's ready for the end of the year. But that's why we have the other lines of cakes to try to, fill in that time when people aren't craving fruitcake.
Well, you have a website, and that's how people get a hold of this, cake.
Yep. www.grandmasbakeshop.com.
Grandma's Bake Shop.
Spell it, Michelle.
Bake Shop.
Sure. Yeah. Yep. Grandma's Bake Shop. It's GRANDMABAKE.
Oh, not S. There's no S.
No. I better double check that for you. But they can also do a search for Beatrice Bakery, and it will come up that way as well. But we did change our website. It's www.grandmasbakeshoppe.com.
Let me write that one down. PPE. Okay, .com. Got it. All right. Well, anyhow, I'm glad we finally got a hold of you.
Yeah, it's been great to visit with you guys.
Yeah, well, it's fun. And, it's a big business. I mean, it's amazing.
It is.
Yeah,
I know. Don't think people really like fruitcake until you work in the fruitcake business. And, there's a lot of people that still crave it and still want it.
Yeah. Well, yours travels better than the wedding cakes we get from the UK.
That's good to hear.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, thank you for taking the time to talk to us. And I'm glad we've finally connected. So talk to you again soon.
That sounds wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Michelle. Bye-bye.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Podcasting services for On the Menu Radio are provided by ASP Station, www.aspstation.net.
Oh, Linda Joden, I need to start with you with the question that's been on my mind for a long time. why is suddenly everybody involved with popcorn? It's like the hottest thing. Why?
Oh, my goodness. Well, first, Ann and Peter, let me say thank you so much for having me on your show. This is such an honor and a privilege. I really appreciate it. You know, popcorn is a really fun thing. What could be bad about popcorn? That's what we always say. Our goal in life is to spread joy, and what better way to do it than with popcorn? And popcorn is just really popular in the snack food aisle now at the grocery stores. When we first started almost 23 years ago, there was occasionally you'd see some popcorn on the snack aisle by the chips, and you think, oh, somebody's got popcorn. And then over the next 5 to 10 years, you'd see one or two others and a lot of local brands, and now all of a sudden popcorn is just, no pun intended, exploding on the snack food scene. I don't think it's going anywhere. I think it's going to have its own category, and it's around to stay. I don't think it's one of these passing fads.
Well, I've really been involved with popcorn for quite a long time. As a child, I used to help with the popcorn machines in movie houses, the theaters, because
that's
where my father worked. But anyhow, I've just always loved it. I made it myself. I made it when you made it on an open fire. You know, I've done the
mm-hmm.
whole thing.
Yeah.
It's my favorite thing. But I never even thought of some of these flavors. I mean, first of all, your background. Have you been in the food industry for a long time?
Yes. My husband and I met in a restaurant when we were kids. I like to say we've been married just shy of 40 years. So I say back when we were kids, we, you know, met in a little restaurant, and we've been in the food service industry one way or another all of those years. So for longer than 40, 50 years, we've been in food service. It's been a lot of fun. And that's kind of how, I mean, it kind of came naturally to just keep rolling with it.
Mm-hmm. Well, but I mean, it's a big jump to tackle the specialty food industry. There's a ton of competition, and it's a hard road. It's expensive to jump in.
Yes. So if you want me to, I can tell you and your listeners kind of where we started and how we started down that road.
Okay, great.
Years ago, our kids were small. We have two children. One of our oldest, his name is Noah, and then our daughter is Hannah, and we named our company after Hannah. Miss Hannah's for my popcorn company. And the reason we did that, because we had a business named after our son for several years. I had a preschool in my home, and we said if we ever have another business, we've got to name it after Hannah. So sometimes it was, you know, something she's not real happy about, and then now she embraces it fully. So it's great. But we started out years ago, we had an opportunity to move, you know, kind of made a big move, and then decided that wasn't going to work. We moved back to the Portland metro area. And then after we did that, we had a really hard time getting back into the work that we were doing.
What were you doing?
Food service, food sales. My husband was in food service and food sales. Myself, I had been having my preschool in my home, but we had sold our home, so now we were renting. And then a dear friend of ours, who are still very good friends of ours, suggested, why don't you guys go try making popcorn? And we thought, that's kind of crazy. But then I thought, that's kind of crazy. Let's do it. So we figured it out. We literally figured it out. We said, okay, how do you make kettle corn? Well, it tastes like it has sugar in it. It tastes like it has salt. Obviously, popcorn, you got to have some oil. So we really just figured out how to make it. We called the supply house, and they said, well, it's basically this. You got to figure out your own formula, your own recipe. So we did. So we started doing festivals. Well, we started out at a little tiny mall in Salem, Oregon. That only lasted a few months in an electric kettle. They started coming into our little tiny kiosk. You know those rolling carts that you would see in the mall? That's where we started out 23 years ago. In Salem Center Mall. And
there was someone from the city came in and said, hey, can you guys do this event? We need some popcorn at this event that we're doing. We're reopening this big carousel and stuff. And so that they had redone all of the horses on the carousel. It was a big, huge event. It was so fun. We did it. My husband figured out how to do outdoor popcorn versus indoor popcorn. And from then on, we never looked back. We always popped it in a kettle with an open flame underneath. And someone standing there stirring it with a paddle. And it took several years, but about 5 or 6 years later, trips to the East Coast to try and find the biggest and best events. But we were always looking for a new event and an event where we could work on the weekends. We homeschooled our children, so we had the freedom and flexibility in our schedule to do that. And we just really enjoyed our travel time. We spent many, many years going down to Arizona. We had friends down there, and they said, hey, you got to come to this event. So a lot of our traveling was, like, we would go to Arizona twice a year. There would be times when that became just routine for us. We would finish up, say, a pumpkin patch in the Portland metro area, and we would, on a Sunday night, we'd get it all torn down. Maybe it was pouring down rain, because in Portland it always rains the end of October. And we'd be finishing up the pumpkin patch, and we'd throw everything in the trailer. And by Tuesday morning at 4 a.m., we were on the road to Arizona to do a 4 or 5 weekend run down there. And then we'd head home, turn around, and do it again in March. So that was our life. We did festivals and events. And eventually, you know, we started thinking it'd be really fun to have this on the grocery shelf. So we dreamt about it a lot. It didn't go quickly. It is a little trial and error. We have the process of making our popcorn with the big open flame, the big stainless steel kettle and the paddle, and that's what makes it Miss Hannah's popcorn. That's what makes it special, is that high, high heat. And a lot of times what happens is, although people are being they're very successful, but a lot of, like our competition, other people who started out in the farmers markets, they'll stop making it that way, because you can't mass produce popcorn in a kettle like that with a human standing over it, where it just takes so much, it just takes so much longer to make it, where a lot of these people who have changed from making it at farmers markets and now they have these huge brands, which we are buying from the grocery shelves, they have gone to the big industrial popping equipment and bagging equipment and all of that.
Yeah, we once interviewed a woman whose grandfather invented the first commercial popcorn making machine in Chicago. It was, I can't remember the name.
Creeders? Is it Creeders?
Yes. Creeders. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. And those are wonderful machines. Yeah, we're familiar with Creeders brand. Yeah, those are wonderful machines. So it took us a long time to get the certification, the permitting, and all of that so that we could still have our propane-fired kettle inside a building, because inside the building is where the Department of Ag will certify you. So all of these things had to harmoniously come together before we could offer our popcorn out in the retail world, to the grocery stores, to the wineries, to the boutique, gift shops and things like that.
Am I remembering correctly that you started out involved with the Portland Farmers Market?
The one we love that market.
Mm-hmm.
We love that farmers market.
It's a beautiful market.
Yeah.
We were some of their first vendors, and there's really big names that came out of that market. Dave's Killer Bread, we were two booths down from him when he was still putting labels. Dave was in the booth at the time. He was putting labels on his bags of bread, and I remember when he changed to pre-printed bags, just like we've recently done, is changed to pre-printed bags, and it's a different feel. And Ruby Jewel ice cream, if you've ever seen Ruby Jewel ice cream in the grocery store, she's got beautiful ice cream sandwiches. I remember when she used to be sitting there in her cart with her cute little umbrella over the top. Really great. Really
great, part of the fun of all this is that we sometimes interview people when they're just the most elemental startups, and then they become a big brand, and then we interview them like then and now, and it's so exciting to see.
It's so fun to see them all grow. And Portland, as you said earlier, Portland is just definitely a foodie town. And there's just been a lot of really great food that comes out of it. And we have a really wonderful food innovation center through Oregon State University.
And wait, we interviewed that woman, the administrator of that.
Yeah,
who?
She's wonderful. Her name is Sarah Massoni, and she is the one.
Yes.
I don't remember what her nickname is exactly, but the $1 million palette or the $5 million palette or something like that. She's helped us with a couple of our flavors. She's great.
I think so too.
The amazing thing to me was the packaging. You get a hell of a lot of popcorn in one of your packages.
Well, it's fun. We, you know, what's
black,
funny
it's
about
black,
popcorn?
It's black on the. It's black on the. It's, the box is. Imagine this. It's black on the outside. It's black on the inside. The packaging is really delightful looking. And
thank
and
you.
You start eating, and you can't stop.
Yeah, Peter picked out something awful. I mean, it's embarrassing if I could tell you how much he's gone through.
I don't even like popcorn.
That is the best compliment we could ever receive. You know, there was a time at an event down in Arizona. I remember the people specifically. We have done thousands of events, but I remember this scene specifically. This one man was saying, "I don't like kettle corn." I said, "Well, do you want to try it? It's kind of fun." And he goes, "No." And his wife says, "You should try it. You should try it." He tried it. He said, "I don't even like popcorn, let alone kettle corn. And I'm going to buy 4 bags of that. That is amazing." And so we use that story when people say they don't like it. Yeah. Oh, that is such a compliment. Thank you so much. We really appreciate that.
Well, how many total flavors do you have?
Oh, goodness. I would say we have 18 in the store every day, and we have rotating anywhere from 1 to 5, depending upon the season, of our seasonal flavors. And, of course, the seasonal flavors are what really get the numbers up. So I would say, I mean, flavors that we are happy with that we have sold, over 45, 50, for sure. And we can, I mean, I can throw some garlic and, you know, some hot sauce on popcorn and call it a flavor, but that's not something that we would have necessarily sold in our store. So in our stores, we have on average 20 and maybe 20, 22 or 23 in there every day for sale.
Yeah,
and then they'll
rotate. Some really, I mean, what inspires you to do these flavors? You say you get a lot of feedback of what people want.
Mm-hmm, we do. So if we're looking at just trying to find, we're a dry product. So most of what we use is dried, right? There are some items that we use in our formulations that are liquid or wet or something like that, that we've created a process that will work with that we can get the flavors to all work together and not end up with soggy popcorn. It's something that it's a procedure that we protect with our life. And, but it really does help to create these different flavors. So when we're looking for, say I'm looking for some freeze-dried dill seasoning or something, there might be something else on this website that I've discovered, oh, there's freeze-dried pineapple, or there's some gummy bears that are, you know, a little bit more chewy than regular. And so those, or maybe how can I make a gummy bear flavor, that kind of thing. That will pique our interest. So that's, and sometimes we wake up in the middle of the night thinking about it. Or a customer one time asked us to make, people have asked us to make s'mores before. And so Hannah did a thing on Instagram, like brackets, like you would when you're doing, you know, semifinals and finals of, like, you know, soccer brackets and, you know, sports and all that stuff. But she said it boiled down to like a couple of different drizzled flavors, a couple of peppermint flavors. And we eventually got down to everybody's favorite flavor was s'mores. And before this time, we said, we'll never make s'mores. It'll be too much time, too much labor, you know, so
you
many
did
ingredients.
It, did you?
We did it one time. We had it for about a month, and we said, we'll never do it again. It's delicious, but because we hand do everything, it was just way too labor intensive. I think we probably lost money on it. But it had freeze-dried marshmallows in it, chocolate drizzle, broken
bread. Oh, yeah,
we
did have
that. It was delicious. Yeah, it was great.
Everybody has s'mores. So, I mean, the one I haven't tasted that I want to taste is the pickle one.
I sent you some, right?
Yeah.
The what?
The pickle? Did I send you some pickles for popcorn?
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I want to taste that.
Open it up right now and taste it. It's a good one.
I started with the chocolate. And Anne's going to start
all of
with
our
the...
I don't have a sweet tooth. And if I just read what was in that, I wouldn't have liked it. But I tasted it. And I got hooked on it. The chocolate. I was shocked.
It's guitar chocolate. It's good chocolate. We don't mess around. Yeah.
Well, but you really must have you must have a very sophisticated palate, though, to perfect all these different flavors.
Well, I think it's the combination of we bring in all the members of the family get to taste it and see if we all like it. Our rule of thumb used to be, it's not as much this anymore, but when we create a new flavor, unless we eat the whole bag or we're willing to, it probably isn't going to make it to the shelf. So that was what it was with our strawberry balsamic when we started that. We couldn't decide if we wanted it sweet or savory as the base. And we ended up with sweet because my husband and I sat down to a movie and we devoured the entire bag. And he's not a big, he likes popcorn, but he'd rather have a bowl of salted popcorn. So like buttery salt or something with a little bit of candy in it, maybe some, like you would at the movie theater kind of thing. But every single one of our flavors has a story. That pickles and popcorn, Hannah and I were on a road trip. We were in Nashville at a farmer's market. We always stopped by the popcorn booth or the popcorn shop. And some guy had dill pickle popcorn, and we bought a bag, and we looked at each other, and we got to figure out how to make that. So came home and figured it out. There are a lot of fun flavors. The sea salt de brulee is amazing. It's raw sugar, crushed sea salt, and vanilla. We created that one because there was an event up in Seattle, Seafood Festival in Ballard, and they didn't want us to do kettle corn because they already had a kettle corn guy, and we thought, we can't go without having a sweet and salty, so we made sea salted brulee. We used organic sugars, and pink Himalayan salt is wonderful. Yeah.
You're very particular about the health aspect of what you're putting into it. I read that somewhere.
Yeah, and it's also not a product that people are going to eat every single day. I mean, some people do, but it's not like it's your, always on your table. It's a snack. It's a treat. So we also are going to the flavor is the most important thing, and then we move down to, what can we do? How can we change this oil? How can we do that? Can we get a true berry instead of an artificial berry? We do have our Tutti Frutti, which is, something we've had since year 2.
It's pretty. The Tutti Frutti is
pretty.
Yeah.
And people love it. If we were to do an organic version of that, people would say, where's my Tutti Frutti? I want my Tutti Frutti back. So we would add in an organic, one. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's really, it's a real adventure for you two to do this together, huh?
It has been. My husband and I ran it for 15 years doing the festivals and events. And then our daughter graduated from college. Hannah, what year was it? I can't even remember anymore. But she graduated college in 15. And about 2016-17, she's been working for us for about a year in 17-18. And then she said, I am going to be doing popcorn. Popcorn is where I'm supposed to be. I'm being led to do this.
Really?
I need to do this. I will be here for you. And I thought, wow, I really didn't see that. I saw you doing these other things, and don't do it, because you think I can't figure certain things out. I wanted her to know, you do not have to do this. She goes, no, This is what I'm supposed to be doing. And so she went and she worked really hard for a year and a half or so. And then she said, I have learned everything I can possibly learn about this business and about business in general. I have to go get my master's. So she went and did an adult degree program, which took 2 years. It was one class at a time. So she was still able to work through George Fox University. She got her master's in business in 2020.
Wow.
She was one of those, master's graduates that didn't get to have a graduation because it was, you know, December of 2020 and kept getting canceled. Yeah, but that didn't stop her from learning everything she needed to learn. And she was able to put, she has been able to put so many systems in place and brought us more current. There were just a lot of things that my husband and I didn't really innately understand how to do and put all these new systems in place, like payroll systems and just scheduling systems and things like that. But it's even more in-depth now. Hannah is one of the smartest people I know. I've always thought that about her since she was a little girl. And now she has turned the corner with Miss Hannah's. And during 2020, we had already had a shop in 2016, and that's where Hannah was helping us a lot. We were doing some events, but then during 2020, you know, all the events ended. Nobody was out doing any art or street fairs of any kind,
right, yeah.
Farmers markets, none of that stuff. And so that was all over for us. And the good thing was I had already gotten our certification from the Department of Ag. We had a certified kitchen that we were working out of, and we were able to get a couple of the UPC codes really freaked me out. I couldn't figure out how to make that happen. And now I can just whip out a UPC code through, you know, the website in 2 seconds. But at the time it was overwhelming. And we were able
It is. I mean, people who start out, well, they have a great idea, but the actual implementation of your great idea is very complicated and demanding. And a lot of people just lose steam with their idea.
And thank you for recognizing that. And so when you see somebody out there who has a new product and maybe they just have one type of cinnamon honey butter or something like that, and you're like, I know how much work went into getting that label done. You've got to figure out how to do the UPC code. You've got to get all your nutrition facts. You've got to get your nutrition panel. You've got to have everything on your label has to be exactly what the Department of Agriculture, USDA, wants on it. So we have to put the word popcorn on our buttery salt popcorn. It has to be buttery salt flavored popcorn. Even though our label is right above it and our logo is right above it that says Miss Hannah's Gourmet Popcorn Company, my sea salted brulee has to be sea salted brulee, raw sugar, crushed sea salt, and vanilla popcorn. So there are certain criteria that has to be on your bag that we spent the rest of 2020 figuring out how we could simplify things, finally started making things happen as far as not being afraid anymore to call, you know, the cute little gift shop down the street. Hey, would you like to carry my popcorn? You know, and then we got a second shop here in our little town of Newburgh, moved our production kitchen over there in November of 2020. And as soon as we put our sign up on the highway, as people were headed for the beach, because we're about 90 miles from the beach on the West Coast, and then on the way out to the beach is our Willamette Valley wine country. And so
we love Oregon wines, by the way.
You got to come out for a visit. There's some
beautiful we've done a lot of traveling around Oregon.
Fantastic.
In fact, I had a cousin who married a former Miss Oregon.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah.
That's
They're
great.
Divorced, unfortunately. That didn't work out. The wedding was
too bad.
Fun.
But I remember the wedding.
Yeah, I remember the wedding, but they're divorced now.
Yeah. I remember years ago, like, thinking of, you know, weddings, and people wanted popcorn at their weddings. there were, you know, write-ups about popcorn and wine pairings, and now it just blows my mind how much popcorn is sold just through our little winery.
Well, I'm glad you noticed it, too, because I was beginning to think I was just paying too much attention, you know, I mean, and making stuff up, but it's no, it's everywhere, I know.
Yeah, it's
well,
really
listen, we have one last thing to now that we have everybody enticed to driving your popcorn, how do they lay hands on it? How do they get it?
Oh, thank you for asking. Well, obviously, you can pick it up at our shops if you're in the Portland metro area in Oregon, or you can absolutely find it on our website at MissHannahsPopcorn.com.
Great.
We're always
available. And so you do e-commerce too.
Instagram. Pardon me, e-commerce.
You
do
e-commerce as well.
That's where our e-commerce will. You will get to our store there at MissHannahsPopcorn.com.
Have you ever thought of making eggplant flavored popcorn?
Wow,
nobody's done that yet.
Wow.
Nobody's ever done that. I mean, it was kind of like a joke between me and my husband. I said that everybody makes things, because I have no sweet tooth, so everyone makes all these different flavors, and nobody makes things in the flavors I like food, like eggplant.
Yeah. don't
listen to her.
I think of eggplant as a carrier for a flavor.
Oh, so this has been so much fun, Linda.
A question. What's your favorite flavor? You said you like savory. So of the ones that I sent you, what's your favorite flavor?
Oh, I haven't had all of them yet. I'm looking forward to the pickle one. That's the one
if you haven't. Awesome.
I'm trying to think of which I've really enjoyed a lot. I mean, Peter usually opens it and opens them at different flavors, and then I jump in. And so that's how I got to the chocolate one, which if I had to bet on it, I would have told you I hated it if I didn't taste it.
I
loved it.
I will answer your question directly.
Yes, please. Okay.
She didn't really answer your question. And the real answer is the chocolate.
That's our number one seller. It's amazing. We hand drizzle that chocolate with a slotted spoon.
You're kidding.
I'm not kidding.
I couldn't put it down. I just said I could not put it down. I'm still going.
That was the biggest surprise. You know, we got a lot of surprises with people sending samples, but that one was my biggest surprise that I liked it. I mean,
that's so great.
In fact,
that's
I liked
so
it
great.
So much. Really liked it. So I'm not sure if there's any of that left. Is there rapid? I don't know. Well,
I've been trying to get Hannah to do one that's that exact chocolate, but without the salt and with a smoky chipotle powder on it.
Oh, yeah. That sounds good.
She's like, nobody's going to like that, Mom. I do. I'm so glad that you...
We'll try it. We'll try it. If you get her to do it, we'll try it. This has been so much fun, Linda. I think you're having a good time also in general, just doing your business, and I'm happy for you in that regard, happy that your daughter's involved. It seems like the happiest story. I'm so glad we did this interview. Thank you very much for everything.
You're welcome.
And keep having fun and keep having success.
Thank you. That's our goal every day, is that even if you buy popcorn in our store or buy popcorn on our website, the way we package it, whatever it is, that if you walk in, you can't understand why, but you feel like you just got a big warm hug and you walk out the door skipping with your bag of popcorn. So that's the goal. If you can imagine that, paint yourself a little picture of what that looks like. And that's just our goal every day, that everyone would feel loved and appreciated and just happy when they leave our leave our shops or open their box of popcorn when they receive it after ordering it online. So,
you're wonderful. Okay, keep us informed of what you're doing next.
All right. Okay, you have a wonderful day.
You too. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
You bet. Bye-bye.